I'm Christy Potter, and this is Going Gray, the podcast about writing and books and creativity and gutsiness and love and middle age and everything in between. As my regular listeners know, I decided back in April, in early April of this year, to stop coloring my hair and just go gray, hence the name of the podcast. But I'd been coloring my hair since I was in my 20s. I think I was about 20, actually, when I first started coloring it. Not because I was gray, but just because I wanted to change my hair color. You know how it is. But I finally decided to stop doing that and just be as gray as nature intends me to be. And my decision was met with a lot of interesting comments from people, as if it has anything to do with them, really, but whatever. And I'll be honest, it took some work on my part to convince myself it was okay to have silver hair. Actually, mine is more of a salt and pepper, but okay to have gray hair when I'm only 44. And while I was in the midst of this internal struggle and the ultimate decision to stop coloring my hair altogether, I met a wonderful, absolutely fascinating woman named Jane Maled. And Jane lives in Nottingham, England, and has a really interesting, really insightful look on life and aging and, yes, on gray hair. So, we're going to talk with Jane more in a moment, but first I want to remind you of the great offer that Audible.com has available to listeners of this podcast. If you visit them on the web at www.audibletrial.com/goinggray, you can subscribe to a 1 month free trial membership and also get a free audiobook. These are cool, okay? You can download them to your phone or your pad or your iPod or whatever and listen to them in the car or at the gym. It's just a really good way to squeeze in that time to read that it seems like you never have. So check them out. Again, www.audibletrial.com/goinggray. And I'll spell that out for you. It's Audible trial, trial.com/goinggray, GOINGGRAY. So, www.audibletrial.com/goinggray. All right, now, let's switch over and talk to the amazing and wonderful Jane, joining us from merry old England. Hi, Jane. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi.
First of all, tell us a little bit about you. Kind of introduce yourself to us. Tell us who you are, where you live, what you do.
Okay. Well, my name is Jane Maled. I'm 56 years old, and I live in Nottingham in the centre of England. Uh-huh. And I have grey hair, which in itself isn't terribly shocking, but my journey to grey showed me that actually it was a bit of a shock for some people.
Right. Right. That's actually how I met you, was I found you on Facebook because I was looking for a page for support for women with gray hair. Because as you know, I made the conversion to all gray. Well, see, I guess it was about in April of this year, and so that's how I found you. And I was really fascinated. I looked at your picture, and if there was anything that convinced me that let's go ahead and go gray, it was your picture. I mean, you're fabulous. And you have this young-looking face, and then this just gorgeous white silver hair, you know, and yeah.
Well, it's really kind of you to say it, but you know, one of the things is, Christine, mm-hmm. I've been colouring my hair for 35 years, and I had absolutely no idea what colour it was. I didn't even know that it was really nearly white, actually, underneath, because I've been doing it for so long.
Right.
And I've got a great hairdresser, and she started to gently pressurise me to think about it, and that's where it all began.
Wow. It's a little bit overwhelming at first when you think, you know, it took a while for me, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but it took a while for me to come around to thinking of it as just another color I haven't tried yet, this is the way my hair really looks, and tell myself that I wasn't just saying, okay, I give up, I'm just going to get old. Because
you're so right. Mm-hmm. I happen to have a great hairdresser, and she's very young, she's a lot younger than me, but uh-huh. she saying to me for about 3 years, "But why don't you try it? I think you'd love it." And I was saying, "No, I'm not ready to do it." And I also said all the things that a lot of people say. I said, "I'm not ready for it. I don't want to be a little grey-haired old lady." Mm-hmm. And she said, "You've got to change what's in your head before you change what's on your head." Wow. And that is an absolutely true thing she said to me. She was right. And she said, "Look, I absolutely promise you that you will like it. And if you don't, what's the worst that can happen? You can change it back." Mm. So that's where it started. But I do think you need to be kind of in the right place. And then you have to really, I think, kind of mentally discipline yourself to shrug off a lot of the negative stereotypes and as you go through it. But, you know, I did it and I'm so glad I've done it, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. First of all, my hair, it's thicker and healthier than I think it's ever been since before I started coloring, really. And I get compliments on it because I have a young-looking face. I'm 44, but I have a young-looking face, and I get compliments. People say, "I love your hair. I love your hair." And so I don't know about – I'm curious to also see what you've seen, too, as far as the reaction to people. Here, culturally – gray hair is still sort of a no-no. It's a little old lady with the blue hair stereotype. But lately, it's becoming more accepted on younger people, and it's actually starting to be considered kind of chic here.
Well, I think that's very much the same here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a really polarized view. Because when I first started to go gray, there were some people who said, "Oh, it's great, Jane, for you, not me. I definitely would want it."
Right.
I had an experience where I was actually standing up to speak at somebody's funeral, and there was somebody there who I haven't seen for a couple of years, and she's exactly the same age as me to the day.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, she came up to me and said, "Jane, your hair looks awful. How can you have let it get like that?" She absolutely hated it. And I thought it was quite funny. However, I would say that in all my years of having my faux brown hair, I never received a single compliment about my hair. And now I do, but not just about my hair, I suppose, just about my look. Mm-hmm. And I think that the whole colour palette, for me, I just like it. I like the grey, I like white, I like silver, I like being able to dress it up differently.
Right.
And, you know, I'm a very average-looking person in lots of ways, but, you know, there's just something about this sort of flag of white hair that people seem to take notice of, and they quite like it.
Yes.
But it doesn't make me look younger. You know, I'm 56 and a half, and I don't look young for my age, but I'm not trying to look young. I just want to be myself, but I actually like it more than what I used to call the Paul McCartney orange tinge.
Yes. Yes, in fact, I'm really glad you said that, because that's what I finally said to myself, was that I'm not trying to look younger. Frankly, I think women over 40, if they have naturally gray hair, look better than when you see women who are on into their 80s who just have these hair just black as India ink, and you think, "Who are you fooling? Come on."
I absolutely agree. And the other thing was that, you know, my hair, within a fortnight of colouring it, you could see the gray at the roots. So I wouldn't say my hair would blow up and all the gray would be there. And I think there's nothing more energy sapping and aging than feeling that you've got this sort of grizzly gray head underneath the brown color. So I hated that.
Yeah.
And I just feel, you know, fresher now. I like it better.
Right.
But it's definitely not about looking younger. And I do think that I said to some people that when I'm sitting at a junction in my car, I think I get let out into the traffic more now than I've got grey hair, because I think that people take a glance and think, you know, "Oh dear, coming through, let her out." So honestly, but that doesn't bother me in the least. I get through the traffic quicker.
Right, right. Well, there you go. And I think that too, once people get a look at you, and I've only seen you in pictures, but once people get a look at you, and I know when they get a look at me, they don't think there's an old lady. They think, "Wow, she's really young to have gray hair."
Yeah. Well, I'm a bit older than you, so I don't know if they think that. Well, about me.
Right.
You know, people tell me that they think it's very striking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's become my kind of thing. So I suppose now I'm quite proud of it, really. I like it.
Sure, of course.
Yeah.
What is it about the fact that when a man starts going gray at 40, I don't think they get the same, you know, nobody looks at George Clooney and thinks, "Oh, what a cute little old man."
I know. Well, do you know what? When I first I saw a guy I know at a ball, actually, for the first time after my hair had all grown out, and this guy had slightly longish white hair, and he's probably in his late 50s, and he came up to me and said, "Jane, wow, your hair, you're so brave." And I said, "Well, you must have been brave for a long time then, because, you know, his was absolutely grey, mm-hmm. but he felt it was okay to comment on mine, and it did, the irony of that didn't seem to strike him." But I think if you look back at the history of hair dyes and all of the rest of it, there is a sort of there is some views that hair dye was one of the biggest sort of contributors to women being liberated, because mm-hmm. you know, they were able to, in theory, then, you know, look younger for longer and so on. But I don't really know why it's always been okay for men to be, you know, distinguished and women to be extinguished, I've heard, by grey hair.
Ooh, I like that. That's a good way to put it.
I was going to say, well, it's not mine, but I've heard it said that that's what happens to women when they go grey. I don't believe it, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I don't believe it either. And I first started easing into it by just leaving a stripe of gray in front, very, you know, sort of very Susan Sontag, very like Bonnie Raitt, with that big white piece in front and then coloring the rest. And then eventually I just thought, oh, screw it. I'm done, you know. And I cut it off really short, really short. I mean, like Judi Dench's hair looks long compared to what I had, really short.
Wow.
Just to let it go wrong. I had let a couple of inches grow, and then I cut the rest off to basically give it a fresh start. And when people really realized, when it started growing in and they started seeing exactly how silver, people didn't believe how gray I was. And I kept telling them, no, it's almost entirely salt and pepper now. And mine's not solid, just really white silver like yours is. Mine's just more streaky salt and pepper. But I also got the word brave repeatedly. And I thought, brave, really?
it is crazy, absolutely crazy.
Yeah, it is. And to me, it's like, I think you and I have had a similar conversation to this before, but to me, silver was just probably one of a very few colors I haven't already tried on my hair. So,
absolutely.
You know.
I think you're right, Chrissy. And my hairdresser said to me at the time, you know, you will find that you'll be able to have a lot of fun with this new hair color, just like you did when you were younger and you chose to go a dramatically different color. Mm-hmm. And I don't think women ever think that about the gray process. They think, oh, I'm just going to sort of slither into it and go gray and fade away.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, I do feel as if that probably, I mean, I was very dark when I was younger, but I think it does feel a bit more, as I imagine it would, if I had suddenly chosen to go blonde. It's fun, you know. Mm-hmm. You find different colours to wear with it, and it's probably the other thing for me. It's the closest that I will ever get to feeling maybe how a blonde person feels, because it's such a light colour palette. It changes, you know, it changes your sort of overall look. And having been somebody with very dark brunette hair, mm-hmm. you know, as a young person and a young woman, it's that's interesting as well. Actually, being a light haired person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I thought the same thing, because I also was very, very a kind of a dark reddish brown all the years that I was growing up. And now that I'm doing the salt and pepper, first of all, the part that's not gray is darker than I remembered. So I guess I really have been coloring a long time. But the rest that's silver, I also have noticed that it has changed. I've had to adjust my makeup. You know, my clothes, the colors, I used to wear these, you know, dark eye makeup, and now with my lighter silvery hair, I put that dark eye makeup on and I just look kind of mean or something.
Yeah.
So,
exactly what you mean.
Yeah, so it really forced me to kind of rethink my whole look. You know, and I think that when you really go with this is how, you know, and if people still color their hair, I'm certainly not looking down on anyone, but for me, to say this is how nature intended me to look, I think I look better. Everything just looks natural.
I do too, and I say to people, you know, I'm not the hair colour police. You know, I think that one of the great things is that women have the freedom to choose what they want.
Right.
I just think that there aren't enough positive images out there of women looking great with grey hair to help people feel actually there is an option, there's another way of doing it, and I might like it.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I do feel is that we are under the constant pressure to look young. Mm-hmm. And I've got a 17-year-old daughter, and I want her to grow up knowing that actually trying to look young. Mm-hmm. I want to feel youthful, and I want to act youthful, and I'm full of energy and vigor and all of the rest of it. I'm not trying to look as if I'm 35, because I'm not.
Right.
And I don't feel that I want to, you know, I want to feel as good as I can feel for the age I am, but I'm not trying to pass off as somebody who's a decade younger.
Right.
I wouldn't succeed anyway.
Right, exactly. It's interesting. Yesterday, this is an aside for you, but you'll appreciate this. I went to a movie premiere event in New York yesterday with, I didn't go with him, but he was there for Daniel Radcliffe's new movie.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm one of about 20 people in this room, you know, watching him be interviewed. And he says, they took questions from the audience. And of course, I was a journalist by training, so I had a million questions. And so I said to him, I introduced myself, and of course my last name is Potter, which he thought was very funny. And I said, you know, I was just joking around, and I said, I didn't do that for you. And he said, no, you know, that came years and years and years ago. And I was like, not that many years, come on. But, you know, I mean, I suddenly got the feeling that I was the only person in the room, the only female in the room who wasn't like a screaming fangirl teenager. And it was just funny to me because he talked to me on a whole different level than he was talking to these teenage girls who were there because, oh my God, Harry Potter. Yeah. And I thought, wow, okay, I'm sitting here feeling respected as an elder. And I had to wonder how much of it was because I walked in there with my gray hair, you know? And it was just a really fascinating thing. And I thought, it's a good thing I didn't come here as a giggling fangirl or I would have been devastated.
Yeah, I think it's really, really interesting. And uh-huh. I think there's definitely something about this sort of badge of wisdom thing.
Mm-hmm.
That I can't really articulate it, but I do feel that people respond to me slightly differently.
Yeah.
And I sort of made a joke about the traffic thing, but mm-hmm. I do feel taxi drivers and that kind of thing, that there is a touch of, you use the word respect, but there is a touch of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just very, very interesting, really interesting. Because I don't really quite know why it is, other than that I'm being, you know, I'm just absolutely being myself, and I'm wearing my kind of natural age, I suppose. It is interesting.
It is, and there is a certain confidence that comes with it, I think. You know, you're just out there. You're saying, this is who I am. So if you don't like what you're seeing, then I can't help you because this is just
that's
who
really
I am.
Me. And I think that authenticity thing is so important. And I know in this country, you know, all the brands and all the organizations are striving to create this sense of authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
But when I look at lots of images of women, you know, obviously you're on lots of the same sites that I am, and I see all these sequences of women with their sort of natural hair, and it's something I find very touching about it, because I think people are showing their true selves, and that doesn't happen very often, and there's something about that I think people find attractive and interesting about authenticity.
Yes, I think so. I absolutely think so, too. Do you also find, we talked a little bit about how you had to, we've changed our you know, our makeup and maybe our clothing styles and our color palettes to go with this new hair. You have a really, you said you have such a great hairdresser, and I can believe it, because you have a really, at least the pictures I've seen, a really cool, chic haircut. It's not just long, frizzly gray hair. I mean, you've got a kind of a young, modern cut, and I think that also makes a difference, don't you?
I think that's really important. Mm-hmm. One thing I think that, and I do it all the time, you know, that your hair, I think if you've got long hair, you're very, very fortunate. Mm-hmm. Long hair that's graying or white can look fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you've got shorter hair, one of the things you've got to avoid is what I've heard referred to as the lady golfer hairstyle.
Yes, oh God.
And I like mine to be a bit roughed up and mm-hmm. sort of choppy cut, and I put product in it, you know, to make it feel a bit funkier, because, you know, it's that. I think one of the things I've noticed, and I was speaking at an event last week, actually, of personal image sort of stylist, and I said, you think you've got to be careful not to look too done. If if everything looks too set, even if I'm wearing, you know, a suit or something like that, I feel that is all aging with grey hair. I need to have things a bit roughed up. And I think having a, you know, a bit more of a contemporary haircut and just being careful that you don't slither into some of the cues in your clothes or other things that are typically maybe for older people, that can help.
Oh, I completely agree. Now tell us a little bit about White Hot Hair. How did you come to start that? That's your company?
Well, yes. Well, my kind of day job when I'm not doing that, I run a creative agency, and we work with retailers and brands. And my background actually is in retail and retail marketing, which I did for many, many years. And I now run a small company, but we would advise other people about brands. And when I went on this sort of journey to grey, I just kept thinking, I started to look for products that I felt that I would want to use. And first of all, I haven't really realized that you could use products that would make your hair, that white and grey hair had its own needs, and you could use stuff. So I started to look around for the stuff that I wanted to use. But the thing I really noticed was that all the brands were either very sort of discreet cashmere colored, anti-aging kind of stuff. And there wasn't really anything that was just the sort of product that I would buy if I didn't have grey hair, but that was for grey hair, if you know what I mean. So I thought, you know what, I think I might try and have a go myself. Not because I'm passionate about sort of world domination in hair care, partly because that would be impossible because the world's dominated by a few big companies that make all the shampoo everybody could ever need. But it was a combination, really, of the fascinating conversations and the community and the fact that I was looking for products that I couldn't find that spoke in a bit more of an upbeat, joyous kind of way. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to have a go myself. It is absolutely tiny, and finding a manufacturer that would make the formulations for me and do what would be a relatively small run of products, because obviously it's a very small company, was challenging. But I knew what I was looking for. But it was really the identity more than anything else, and the opportunity to kind of join the debate. And it was those two things coming together that I thought, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it just because I just want to have a go. And that's the other thing for me. I'm 56, and I don't think it's ever too late to be bold and have a go at doing something that you've always wanted to do. So that's it, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Now you have a lot of different products too that are specifically designed to not only wash your white slash silver slash gray hair, but it, I think you have products that make it shiny and, the whole thing, right?
Well, we've got two shampoos, one brightening one and one kind of everyday one, and a conditioner, and then we've got a deep conditioner. My sort of signature product, if you like, is Shuchen Cream. And I was describing before, my hair is constantly, I'm ruffling my hair all the time, and I like it to feel as if it's a bit towsily, and I like to put some product in it. So that was why I did Shuchen. I think anybody who's got a slightly flat, lackluster hair, It. And my daughter said, "Mum, you're always doing that thing to your hair, constantly shooshing it." So I thought I'd make some shooshing creams. So I've done that,
Nice.
and we've got an oil, a light shine oil, which is contains oil from the African tree of life, baobab oil, and that's a wonderful product that you can use on damp or dry hair for shininess. Because a lot of people say, either my hair is flat or it's fluffy or it's wiry. So I have the opportunity to work with a great formulator who really understands about what happens often to hair that hasn't got any pigment in it. She's helped create these products. So yes, and the other thing I've said is, lots of people said, "Oh, why did you make a hair spray or this or that?" And I said, "I won't make anything that I wouldn't be happy to use myself instead of my regular brand." Again, and that's because this is very authentic. I don't care in a way whether nobody ever buys any product. I'm just really, really enjoying being part of the conversation.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, I completely agree. And I think it's so amazing that you saw a need for this very specific population, and you saw a need and you stepped in there and you filled it, and you really took a chance. And I keep seeing your stuff everywhere. Maybe it's because I know you and I'm following you now, but I keep every now and then I'll just look and I'll see, oh, there's Jane.
Yeah.
Now, I think you had told me at one point you were going to start being able to ship to the US. Are you now, or is that still coming?
We are shipping. At the moment, we are shipping because we've never expected there to be so much interest from the US, because we kind of imagined you've already got thousands of these products, and that because we're such a tiny island in comparison, we didn't have them. But actually, so many American women have contacted me through the Facebook page particularly. Mm-hmm. So we have been shipping to the US in a really informal way. So we've said, look, we'll ship at UK rates, mm-hmm. Just to give you the chance to try it. So we're doing that now, that just order on our website. But mm-hmm. we're going to sort of formalize that a bit and update our website to show that. But anybody who contacts me, I say, yes, we'll ship to you, we'll gladly do that. Because I was completely taken aback by the level of interest, I guess.
That's great. Yeah, like I said, I'm seeing more and more gray and silver on all ages around here. In fact, somebody actually asked me once if my hair was naturally gray or if I did this. Like if
yes,
I had this done.
People have asked me that.
So I guess we're doing something right if it looks that great, you know?
Well, I hope so. And have you read Anne Kramer's book about going grey?
No, I have to check that out.
Well, she's ex-vice president of Nickelodeon, I think. Mm. I hope I've got a name right. But her surname is Kramer, and it's a fascinating book because she's American, obviously, but she talks a lot about all sorts of the issues around grey hair. She talks about the fact that in different parts of America, in different cities, different states, you may see a lot of grey or very little grey. She talks about the fact that some occupations you will see people with grey hair, like academia or the arts, and in others, the commercial world particularly maybe, you don't see any. It's a really interesting read.
I'm going to have to check that out. That sounds exactly like what I keep preaching in my blog and in my podcasts. And I would love that. I would love that. And I really do think that it is that gray and silver hair are starting to come into their own around here. But I think as more prominent women like that do it, and my guess is that she's not 80 years old either, is she?
No, she's not. I think she's in her early 50s, if I remember rightly.
Yeah.
But she did some really interesting experiments. She put some profiles up on Match.com with her hair, with her faux brown, and with her silver. She went to see different image, style consultants, sort of mm-hmm. anonymously, and asked them what they thought of her look. And, you know, she did all sorts of things because she was just interested in how people reacted to her, with her grey hair versus with her sort of faux brown hair. Mm-hmm. And it was really, really interesting. It's one of those things, Christy, as well, that I think unless you've experienced it, people who haven't taken the plunge just don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
People who have kind of converted, if you like, you hear so many women saying the same thing, you know, I feel great, I look great, I have compliments, but I think if you're not mentally ready to do it, it doesn't matter how many people tell you that, you're not going to do it, and that's probably right for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree completely, and it took me a long time to come around to the right way of thinking, and, you know, when I finally decided to do it was one day when I had colored my hair. Just I saw the gray roots you were talking about, and like it was like 2 weeks in, and I colored it again, and all of a sudden I had this dry, horrible mess on my head, and I looked in the mirror and I thought, "What are you doing? That's enough."
Well, good
enough.
For you. Good for you. I bet. Enough. Well, I'm sure it looks absolutely great.
It does. I really thank you. And if I can say so, I think that it does, and it really shows, and I think my level of confidence as well. You know, like I said yesterday, I would have been devastated if I would have been treated like some little old lady by some 20-something-year-old movie star. And instead, yesterday, I thought, this is really funny. Like, it really struck me as funny. I thought, he's treating me with a whole different level of respect. And if it was respect for your elders, who cares? I just thought it was funny because it made me stand out.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, if you do get hold of that book, Christy, you should read it because she also talks very interestingly about people's well-being mm-hmm. and how people's well-being, people like to fit in mm-hmm. up to a point, but too much fitting in is actually detrimental to your well-being.
Oh my goodness.
So what you just described, she describes that there's an element in all of us that actually likes to be a little bit distinctive.
Sure.
Not necessarily too much, and that for her, she kind of got a little bit of that buzz you're describing from having her hair grey as well.
Mm-hmm. I just think it's very liberating. I wouldn't color again now if you paid me to do it. You know, I just think it's awesome. So, all right. So do you want to give us really quick your website, where people can look you up if they're interested in finding out more about White Hot Hair or ordering?
Yeah. Well, White Hot Hair is at www.whitehothair.co.uk, and it's White Hot Hair on Facebook. exciting.
It's a great community. I love reading the things that they post, and there's so much support and excitement for this change that everybody's making or that they have embraced. And it's truly how I think a Facebook community is supposed to work. When I look at your page and I see people posting pictures and they're talking, and I think, what a cool place. Makes me excited to be a part of the club.
Well, you know what? I said that to people. My last thought on it is, you know, that in all my time of having brown hair, I've never met somebody who said, oh, Jane, you've got brown hair. How fascinating. So have I. You know, this has opened up all sorts of conversations that I just didn't know were out there.
Wow. That's great. That's great. And then I think that's a great way to wrap this up. So that was a good thought. And so I really appreciate you taking this time with us. I know it's getting to be the end of the day there where you are. So I appreciate you taking this time to talk with us, and all the way from Robin Hood country over there. that's always what Nottingham will be to us.
So. Yeah, well, that's all it is to many people.
Oh, well. Anyway, so I really appreciate you taking this time with us. And again, your website, www.whitehothair.co.uk.
That's right.
And that you will ship to the U.S., so hopefully we'll get some people interested enough to at least stop by and see what you're about.
Oh, thank you, Chris.
Okay.
And lovely to talk to you.
You too. Thanks so much, Jane.
Okay.
Bye. Bye-bye. All right, that's it for me. Don't forget, you can find my books, including my debut novel, Oh Brother, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or iTunes. And please come and visit me anytime at www.christythewriter.com. Thank you.